Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. And as you know, Leviticus chapter 23 is the holy day chapter for good reason. All the holy days and the festivals of God are listed in Leviticus 23. And let's begin to read in Leviticus 23, verse 15. And it says, "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the wave sheaf, or the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be commanded." So what happened during the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, during the days of unleavened bread, what happened on our weekly Sabbath, the next day there was a ceremony. It was called the wave sheaf ceremony. And what the priests would do is they actually harvested the wave sheaf the evening before as the sun was setting. If you know your chronology, you know that Jesus Christ was being resurrected about the time that the wave sheaf was being cut. And that was the Saturday as the sun was setting. And then Sunday morning, the priests would take the sheaf and they would wave it. They would lift it up and lift it back down. That's why it was called the wave sheaf, because they would wave it up and down. And this was harvested, the wave sheaf was harvested out of a field that the priest had selected, and it was the first of all of the harvest. That's why it was called the first fruits. And so the wave sheaf was the first of the first fruits. Now, we are the first fruits. So if we are the first fruits, then the wave sheaf represented Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits. So in verse 15, that's what's happening. "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete." We call Pentecost sometimes the Feast of Weeks, because there are seven complete weeks in the count. Seven times seven is 49, plus one more is 50. The word Pentecost means 50th. That's what the word means. And it says in verse 16, "Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord." So in the weeks past, when this wave sheaf was offered, right, during the Sunday after the Sabbath, during the days of unleavened bread, the wave sheaf was offered. Then the reapers would go into the field and harvest the rest of the grain. And that was the first fruits grains. So these two wave loaves were made from that grain. So the wave sheaf was waved. The harvesters went in, harvested that small field. And then all over the country, the rest of the fields were harvested. None could be harvested till the wave sheaf was offered. And so if Jesus Christ is the wave sheaf, then we are that small field. There's another great harvest coming later. But we are the first harvest. And so those two wave loaves, verse 17, of 2/10 of an ephah, of fine flour, baked with leaven, they are the first fruits to the Lord. So they were harvested or made from this grain. Verse 18, "And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs and some other things." And then you go to verse 19. "Offer a kid and a lamb." And notice in verse 18, "You had a drink offering of wine." So you have with this offering wine and a lamb. If you know your Bible, what does a lamb and wine represent? I'll let you figure that out. It's not on that subject. Verse 20, "The priest shall wave them." These are the two wave loaves made with the first fruit grain, baked with leaven, fine flour. Verse 20, "The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest." So what they're going to do is they get these two wave loaves made with leavening, fine flour, from the first fruit grain from which out of them came Christ. And they're going to take one loaf and they're going to lift it up to the heavens and bring it back down. And they're going to take the second loaf and lift it back up to the heavens and bring it back down. That's why they were called the wave loaves. Sometimes in the Bible we read things and we go, why did they name it that? The loaves were waved. Why did they name the Passover the Passover? Because the death angel passed over. So we have the two wave loaves being waved. Verse 21, and you shall proclaim on the same day that you wave those two loaves, baked with leaven, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever and all your dwellings throughout your generations. Question. What do those two loaves represent? Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to examine the two wave loaves and how, by analogy, see how this fits us. How this fits us. If you haven't figured it out yet, we are the two wave loaves. Now, it's interesting. They were made with leaven. You can read the instructions for the offerings. And in the instructions for the offerings in other parts of the Bible, which is not the subject of this message, God commanded that none of the offerings should have leaven in them. What does leaven represent? Sin. None of the offerings should have leaven in them except this one. This was the only offering that had leaven in it. And we know that leaven represents sin. Therefore, that's giving you a better idea of who this represents. Now, let me read you a little bit out of Alfred Edersheim's The Temple and the Ministry and His Services about these two wave loaves. So the two wave loaves were prepared from wheat grown in the best districts of the country, conditions similar to those already noticed about the Passover wave sheaf. Similarly, about 3 pecks and 3 pints of wheat were cut down, brought to the temple, thrashed like other meat offerings, ground, and passed through 12 sieves. The fine flour went through a lot. It was beaten up, pulverized, and sifted. You got problems? Contrary to the common rule of the sanctuary, these loaves were leavened. The common explanation, the wave loaves were leavened because they represented the ordinary food of the people, partially accounts for this. Now he's giving us his opinion. To us, the day of Pentecost is indeed the feast of first fruits and that of the giving of the better law, written not on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart. I'm sure in Mr. Moody's sermon, we're going to hear something about the Holy Spirit and its workings with the Spirit of the living God. So he says in the little things I've gleaned out of his writings, no pun intended, that the wave sheaves represented the common people. Now, I want you to notice that they were beaten and sieved through 12 sieves. And out of the first fruit field came the wave sheaf, which represented Christ. Christ is the first of us. He's the first one that has ever been resurrected after being dead as a human being. He was the first. He's the captain of our salvation. There were two loaves. Why not just one loaf? Why lift one up, bring it down, lift another one up and bring it down? Why not just make a bigger loaf and lift it all at once? Why two loaves? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Several explanations to this by the scholars. And even among the churches of God, there's a little bit of difference, but I'm going to give you what I feel is a biblical interpretation of what these two wave loaves represent and why there's two of them. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, who are dead. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means go before those who are asleep. What he's saying is there's an order to the resurrections. We which are alive are not going to go before those that are dead. Which means the dead are going to rise first, and then those that are alive on the earth as Christians are going to rise secondly. There's actually the first resurrection, and there's two parts to it. If you want to get technical, there's the first part where the dead in Christ are rising. And if you're a Christian, you're looking at this and you're going like, Oh, people are rising, and I'm still on the ground. It says, don't be ignorant. Keep reading here. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, not all the dead in Christ, so Christians that are dead, they're going to rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall then be caught up together with them. We're going to rise second. So there's two parts to the first resurrection. Those that are dead and rise to meet Christ, and then those that are alive in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're changed, you rise to meet Christ. And we go off with Christ to heaven. No, we do not. Jesus Christ comes back down to the earth, and that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And so we're going to go up to the heavens, the atmosphere, clouds, and all that, and we're going to come back down. That's why there's two loaves. One loaf represents the dead in Christ. The other loaf represents those who are alive and are resurrected very shortly thereafter. Third point, the wave loaves are waved. They are waved. Just as the loaves were being lifted up and brought down, so we as Christians will do the same. We shall ascend to meet the Christ in the air and come down to rule with him on the earth. We're not going up to heaven to play harps for the rest of eternity. We're going to go up to heaven. We're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. He's going to come down on the Mount of Olives. You remember right before Pentecost, Jesus Christ ascends to heaven. He says, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending the helper and all of that. And the angels, the men were looking up and angels were next to them. They said, what are you looking at? Well, we're looking at Jesus rise. And he said, the same way he went, he's going to come back down. Where did that take place? Mount of Olives. And you can read about that in Zechariah. Let's do that. Zechariah 14. We go where Christ is. The question is, where is Christ? Does Christ go back up to heaven after he comes down to get the saints? Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at Zechariah 14, which is the last chapter in the book of Zechariah. Mine has a title on it called The Day of the Lord. You know, you read in Revelation and it talks about I was envisioned on the day of the Lord. And people go, oh, well, that's Sunday. You know, the day of the Lord is Sunday. And other people go, no, they were Jewish, so that's a Sabbath because the day of the Lord is a Sabbath. It's not talking about the day of the week, brethren, in Revelation. It's talking about a time period. The time period mentioned here in Zechariah 14, the day of the Lord. Verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Let's skip to verse 3. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives is going to split in two. There's going to be a great earthquake. Verse 5, thus, the last part of verse 5, thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with him, as it should read. So in the book of Zechariah, we see that Jesus Christ returns and doesn't take the saints anywhere like a rapture or like a secret, you know, rising. He comes visibly in the air and he gathers up the saints, the dead and the living, that are resurrected in two parts, and then he brings them all back down to what we read here on the Mount of Olives. A lot of young people want to be in the military. Oh, I want to be in the military. I like martial arts and all of that. If you want to fight, stay in the church. First thing we do when we come back is battle. We go to war. And we're going to do this here in Zechariah 14. So I want you to notice that the saints return with Christ. They're resurrected, they meet Christ in the air, and they come back down. Just like the waves were lifted up and brought back down. Let's go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And we're going to read in Revelation 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And it talks about a voice from heaven, and a new song in verse 3. Verse 4, these are the ones who are not defiled with women. They're spiritually pure, in other words. For they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed, which means bought back. You were a slave, you could be bought back out of slavery. We have been redeemed, brethren, from slavery, from death. Redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So here we have the first fruits being mentioned that are here with Jesus Christ. One more scripture before we conclude. James. Hebrews and James. We'll look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. My reward is with me to give to every man. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. There's a sinning process. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, and we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brethren, we are the first fruits. We overcome trials, and we're going to receive salvation. Thousands of years ago, brethren, God instituted a ritual that looked forward to his literal first fruits. Christians are symbolized by two wave loaves as God's first fruits. The offering of the wave loaves foreshadows a time when we will be resurrected and rise to meet the returning Christ.